Welcome to the Solid Ground Podcast, where each conversation takes you from uncertainty to stability. I'm Natasha Casey, your host. Every week, we delve into the journeys that transform shaky grounds to solid foundations. Through insightful discussions, expert advice, and personal stories, we aim to help you find the stability you seek in every aspect of your life. Join us as we explore topics ranging from personal growth, mental health, to building strong relationships, and most importantly, a solid foundation in Christ. Whether you're navigating life's challenges or looking to reinforce your current path, the Solid Ground Podcast is here to support you every step of the way. Tune in every week for a new episode and take the next step towards a more stable, fulfilling life. Remember, no matter how shaky the ground, there's always a way to find your footing. Let's journey together from uncertainty to stability. Welcome to Solid Ground. Hey guys, and welcome to the Solid Ground Podcast, where each conversation takes you from uncertainty to stability. Join us as we explore the journey of going from shaky ground to solid ground. Today, I have a very special guest, and I know people say that, you know, every guest is special, but this one is actually very special and very dear to my heart, maybe even the dearest to my heart. But I have my little sister. I know she don't like this, but she my baby or whatever. She my little baby. But I have my little sister, Allison, here on the Solid Ground Podcast.
Hello,
and I'm excited to have you. I'm really excited
to be here.
How do you feel?
I feel a little nervous, definitely excited. Mostly excited for you. This is a long time coming, and I'm excited for everything Natasha has in store for all of you. And it is honestly just such an honor that you even wanted me and considered me to be in this position.
Girl? So, of course, I'd want to have you. First, I want to say not only thank you for coming, but thank you for supporting
this. I
didn't
have a choice.
Wow. That's true. You really didn't have a choice. But I want to thank you for even just supporting this, just in your words and your actions with your money. Listen, I have a sister that will actually back anything I do. And I think, honestly, that's such a rare thing when it comes to sisters. And we're going to talk about that in this episode, because we're talking about how to, you know, go from shaky ground to solid ground in sisterhood, because it
can get shaky.
It can get really, really shaky. But before that, I got a couple questions for you, just to kind of, you know, ease our way into it. First question is, how are you?
I'm good.
Nah. No surface level. How are you? How have you been? What's been on your mind?
I'm doing well, genuinely doing well. And I don't think I'm doing well because everything in my life is going well, but I think I've just really been in a place where I'm trying to master the joy of the Lord, not happiness. Happiness is temporary, it's circumstantial. Yeah. But joy is permanent and is there regardless of what you're going through. So I've really just been trying to master making the joy of the Lord my strength, despite what my outside circumstances may be. So I'm doing well because of that.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but I am genuinely doing well and I am joyful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Honestly, watching you up close and every single day, I think you carry everything so well. I feel like even in seasons and times where it's like, you could really be like, I don't know how, I'm the makeup artist, guys, but you're not going to catch me face beat 90% of the time. But one thing about Allison, she going to get up in the morning. She going to get ready. She going to look good. She going to dress good. And it's like, you never look like what you're going through.
You can't make your enemies that happy. You can't make your enemies that happy. Do you hear me? You can never look like what you're going through.
I'm really trying to learn from you, because I be looking.
Nah, you be looking good all the time still.
Don't lie. You told me I look crazy this morning.
Okay, you weren't doing well. You were kind of sick. So
exactly.
To be fair,
no, but exactly the point is that if it was you in that situation, you still would have had your hair laid. Okay, maybe not your face beat, but you know, you still would have had a cute outfit on. And
that is true. We just have very different, like, I feel like different approaches to.
No, say what you want to say. You're holding back.
No, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I'll always, every time I, like, you have a very much, like, I don't care, like, I'm going to come however I want to, wherever I go.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like that too, but, like, for me, like, I just feel good when I'm always like, I always have to look put together, not for other people, but like, even if I'm not doing makeup, even if it's a casual, like, bummy fit, like, I have a very, like, okay, how can I look the best in, like, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're better than me, Chow.
No, we're just different.
You're better than me. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there, because I think you're right. The problem is I don't care, which is, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm just as happy. I'm just as confident, you know, in looking however. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I feel like I'm at this stage of life where it's like I do have to show up a certain way. So I think I'm going to start doing that just so that, you know, how you present yourself matters. You know
what I
mean?
I don't think you need to, though. Oh, that was so cringe. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
That was so cute. Was that a... I'm happy this is being recorded.
That's the closest to a compliment that she's... I'm joking.
I'm gonna take that end.
But no, I like that we're different in that way. And it's very much like you'll never put pressure... I mean, I'll never put pressure on you to, like, be anything that you're not. And I just feel like as much as we are alike and we're sisters, we have our differences that we're both able to fully embrace. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what's me, you know what's you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it took a long time, like, for me being younger sister to, like, even grow into a space where it's like, I don't need to be you. I don't need to replicate you. I don't need to look like you, and just being comfortable in my own individuality. So it's like, when it comes to sisterhood, I feel like one of the most important things, like, embrace your differences. I'm not going to try to be like you. Yeah. I'm not going to put pressure for you to be like me, and vice versa. So that's what I generally mean. And, like, no, you don't have to care, so.
Thank you. That's so sweet. I have a question about that, actually, when it comes to differences. I feel like between us, there's never been, like, comparison, mm-hmm. per se, or has
like
there
us
been?
Us comparing each other?
Yeah. Okay, I don't think we've ever compared each other.
No.
But I do think that there's always been outside influences trying to make us 100. Compare each other or highlight our differences. Yeah. I guess from your side, was that something that was difficult, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, that was, I had a season in my life when I was younger, I would say it was really, really difficult. And like you said, like, you and I will never compare ourselves ever.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, for example, like, people that are even closest to you compare you to me, but people that are closest to me compare you to me as well. And like on my side, like, I grew up, especially like, I want to say my teenagers, I think like 16, 17, 18, like, you've always been in your bag, but you were in your bag then as well. Like, you're doing your makeup stuff, you're popping on IG, like, you're always doing these photo shoots. And I'd always have people comparing me to you, like, oh my gosh, like, how come, like, you're not the pretty, like, your sister is the pretty sister. Like, how does it feel to have a sister like Natasha? She's like, she's always in her bag. Mm-hmm. And I think it almost kind of gave me an identity crisis, because when I was in my teenagers, I was trying to be like you. And it's so funny now that, like, I've obviously grown into myself, because I'm so far from you in the best ways possible. Like, we're so different.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really difficult season, because I was trying to mold myself into who you were, whether it was makeup, whether it was style. And I just feel like it kind of sucks that when it comes to sisterhood, whether it's biological sisters or just friends that are really close, how the world and people always try to pit women against each other when they're not even doing that amongst themselves. But yeah, honestly, I feel like you just have to get to a point in your life where it's like, I know you, you know me, and we don't care.
100%.
But we definitely still hear that noise, like that conversation that happened yesterday.
Literally yesterday.
I didn't like it.
I could tell you didn't like the conversation.
Yeah, I did. And I'm like, don't put me against my sister like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
But you know what? I agreed with him, though.
What?
I agreed with him, though. So just for context, we were talking to someone yesterday on the phone, and this person was telling me, oh, like, what's it called? Huh. So just for context, we were talking to someone yesterday. Well, I was talking to, we were talking to someone on the phone yesterday, and they were basically like, oh, like, Tosh, like, how does it feel for Allison to be the pretty sister? Yeah. Like, how does it feel? You know what I mean? And genuinely, I'm like, yo, bro, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I can understand how damaging a comment like that can be. I think I just personally, one,
you're secure.
Don't care. Exactly. Yeah. I'm very secure. And I do think you're the prettiest. You're gorgeous. You're stunning. I'm never going to repeat this again. So take a clip of this and keep it somewhere. But that is damaging.
Yeah.
Right? Because to someone either that may not know their identity at that time, or, you know, constantly being compared, even if it's not something that's in your own heart, it could definitely be damaging.
Yeah.
So I could tell you were uncomfortable. You know, I agreed with him, but it was kind of not cool.
Yeah, no, it's just, I just feel like it's not necessary. Like,
it definitely isn't.
You could be very secure. I'm very secure in myself at this 100%. Point in my life. and so are you, but it's not even about us. It's like, why do you feel the need to? But, you know, I feel like people, obviously, like, this person also did not say this to be offensive or anything.
Yeah,
they're genuinely trying to
know I can handle
them.
They know I can handle things like
but,
this.
But, yeah, it's just very interesting because it's almost subconsciously. Like, people do this subconsciously. They pit women and they pit sisters against each other.
Yeah.
And you never know the amount of damage that could cause.
100%.
Like, my 16-year-old self, you don't know how much that affected me. That really hurt me. And it would be, like, little stuff that people are seeing as jokes. But it's like, no, you just don't do those things because you don't know what that could be. What that could mean to someone in that at that point in their life. So, yeah.
That's good. So how did you come out of that? How did you get to the point where it's like, okay, I'm able to maybe appreciate, you know, all the good things and not compare myself and then finding your, or did you get there?
I did, but the reason, I think the first thing that came to my mind is so funny, but finish.
Now you can go ahead. You can go ahead. You can go ahead.
I think I started clocking. There's some stuff you'd wear and I'd be like, bro, what are you thinking? I'd be like, I would never, ever wear that. And I think that's when our differences started really showing. Like, you just do stuff, and I'm like, why? And, like, that's what I'm saying. It's stuff like that work for you. But if I ever tried that, I'd be like, bro, never in a million years would I put that fit together and think out and walk outside.
Yeah, I think that's you today. Like,
yeah, no. Yeah. There's stuff Tasha will do. She's like, Allison, she'll walk out and dress like, Allison, I don't want to hear it. I love it, and I'm wearing it. Because we have such different opinions. But I think a part of me, like, we're getting older, I was like, bro.
What is she wearing?
I was like, I don't even like your style like that. I'm trying to get like you. Nah, bro.
That is hilarious. So my fashion sense that you don't agree with is what helped you get over the...
But not that I just didn't agree. I didn't like it. But then it was very clear. Like, that is so Tosh. But that could never be me. And once I realized, like, you could never be me, I'm like, damn, then who am I?
That part.
Who am I? So it's like I had to start putting in the work and getting to... know myself for myself. And I feel like I started doing that work in, like, I want to say my early 20s. And also I think when I was 17.
Wait, aren't you still in your early 20s?
Yeah, I'm in my early mid-20s. I'm 24 now. In my early 20s. But I think also when we stopped living together, I think I was like, what, 17?
Okay.
So after I think I was alone a lot and I was spending more time on my own. And just, as you get older and, like, you get jobs, you experience new people, like, we're not always in the same space. You kind of discover yourself when you are more exposed to different things and different people. Just spaces where it's like, who am I without Tash beside me? Yeah. Which I feel like in my teenage years, like, we're at church together, we're at home together. So it's like, you're always there. But it's like, okay, well, what are people's perception when Tash is not here?
Yeah.
There's nothing to compare me to. So who am I? How am I presenting myself?
Yeah.
So I think it gave me room and an opportunity to grow and just to really identify who I am, my individuality, my personality.
No, I feel that. And you know what's funny is, like, just going back to our childhood, we obviously lived together for a bit. And then for a couple of years, we didn't live together. I moved to Alberta with Dad. You stayed with Mom. And then I think when you moved back with us in Ottawa, you had kind of stepped into, like, our world. So, like, I already knew everybody. So I guess at that point in time in your teenage years, it was very much so, this is Tasha's sister.
Yep. Whereas for years, I was just known as Tasha's sister. Even to this day, like, people will be like,
really?
Oh. Well, yeah, you're definitely, like, let's say a church, like, I feel like, especially, like, let's say CR, like, you're
known.
So, like, oh, my God, you're Tasha's sister? And now I love it. I'm like, yeah, I am, you know? But I definitely had a phase in my life where I was just like,
bruh.
They did. People would not know my name. And now I'm happy with it. Like, you don't need to know. I'm Natasha's sister. If that's all you know me as, I am happy. What? I am so happy. But, yeah, definitely, like, when I came into here, like, you guys were already settled. And I just moved in. I was, what, 13? And, yeah, I was just known as Tasha's sister. So I feel like that made that process even harder, like, finding an identity of my own and, like, showing people, like, okay, yeah, I'm Tasha's sister, but I'm also my own person. But, yeah.
No, I hear that. And I think after that, like you said, when you stayed with Mom and Dad and I was living on my own, there was a bit more distance. And I feel like that's where our relationship kind of started to get better.
Yeah.
Right? So I think distance...
Sometimes distance
works. But what I think, at least for me in those years, is I think as you learn to know yourself more and just grow, it also benefits your relationships. 100%. And I think that's what happens to us is, like, you blossomed into someone completely different. I changed and blossomed into something completely different. Not saying that any of us are perfect, but... as we both worked and actually do, one thing I appreciate about us is we actually put in the hard work.
We did, and we do.
We put in the hard work to actually grow and to actually change, and that benefited our relationship. But what do you think are some of the things that changed about, actually not about you, what do you think are some of the things that changed about me that then made it possible for us to have a good relationship and a deeper, meaningful relationship?
Yeah.
I was going to say about you, but I'm like, nah, I want to hear.
ask the question one more time.
Like, what is it that you think changed about me? Or not necessarily changed, but that I grew into, or that you were then, that it was then easier for us to be able to have a relationship? Because there was a time where it was like, we just...
Yeah.
Like, I sneeze and you'd be angry. You'd jump and I'd be like, why are you jumping? Like, you know what I mean? And I think that was just a lot of frustrations from, like, not even us. I think a lot of times just external family trauma and different things that caused that.
Yeah.
But then we did the work.
And we did the work.
We're here today.
Yeah. I think... I think what changed in you and like what that time kind of gave you, both you and I, the time to do is heal. I think we both had a lot of trauma from our childhood that we hadn't dealt with, number one. Number two, I think we were still kind of going through it. There was a lot going on even when we did live together in that space.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like it wasn't the best time for our family. So I think a lot of the stuff that would happen at that stage in our life would kind of like pull on our triggers and just bring out the worst in us. So I think the environment wasn't the best at that time for any of us, really. And I think that even like us leaving and us moving out and you having that space to yourself and having a place where it's like you weren't already surrounded by me or by dad or by family, I think it gave you a chance to grow, to heal, to become more self-aware without people always being in your business, not just people, but the people that will trigger those parts of you. So I think that that space just has allowed you to now be a more patient person.
Definitely more patient.
A lot, yeah. I feel like that's the biggest word, like patient, like very, you're more tolerant. And you make sure that you don't let things get the best of you very easily, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like you'd get like angrier quicker, but now it's like you have set 100% up protective mechanisms or just like ways like, you're not going to get that upset or that angry quickly. Like you could just tell like the work inside has been done. Like you're so much more calm, so much more patient. But I think because that space allowed you to heal, that space allowed you to just really become more self-aware. And also the space was needed from us, which I feel like is sometimes hard to admit, but like sometimes you do need to be away from family. Sometimes you do need to be away from people. Like I feel like even my personal relationships with family have thrived the most after I moved out.
Yeah.
And like the person that I am now, like I'm like healed. Like there's so much forgiveness. Like there's just so much love that flows in every single in my relationships, but I needed to leave for that 100%. To happen. So I feel like kind of like similar for you, but yeah.
No, I agree. I think those are the things I did take the time to work on. Cause growing up,
I was never safe.
No, growing up, like genuinely, I was an angry child. Yeah. I really, really was. And I think it's one thing to like be just always angry. And I think I didn't notice it for years because I was still always bubbly.
Yeah.
I was very bubbly and very like with people. But then like you said, like everything would trigger me and it was like 0 to 100. Yeah.
Like, and only family, like the fact that that wasn't consistent outside of like family relationships just shows how much it had to do with our
family.
Nuclear family and the traumas that we've just developed and just 100% years.
So I knew at that point that it'd be damaging if I didn't take the time to work on that. Like not just work, like to 100% completely heal.
Yeah.
Do things still trigger me? Yes, but I think I respond very differently now. Sometimes I think I'm a little too patient now, actually.
Too patient. She's too nice. You give people so much grace.
The thing
she
is, like,
went from 0 to 100. She forgot about the golden mean, about the middle ground. Please, we're talking about solid ground. We need middle ground sometimes. Tasha will give people so much grace, bro. I'm like, stand up.
No, because it's either that or it's like, I tell people, I'm like, just enjoy where I'm at today. Because if you caught the Tasha.
Yeah.
If you caught the Tosh of like, what, 5 years? No, more than that.
Sometimes
10 years ago?
To come back because people.
Nah,
be...
bro. I'm a pastor now. I can't be doing that.
Oh, my gosh.
I think, I can't. I'm trying to find my solid ground there. I'm really trying to because people do a lot. Mm-hmm. But then I think I just vowed to myself that I'm not going to let anyone trigger what I've worked so hard.
100.
To get to.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah, so for now we're going to be too nice and we're going to be too patient because it's better than anger.
Than the opposite.
No, it 100% is.
That's fair.
Okay, I've got another question for you here. I don't know if I want to hear this, to be honest.
Why am I scared?
But what do you think I'm most qualified to give advice about? Mm. And then what do you think I'm like so not? No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want
to hear it. You don't want to hear it? Let's go with the first one.
Yeah. just the first one.
What do I think?
Actually, no, now I want to know. No, we might cut it out, but I want to know.
Cut stuff out. Actually, no.
Oh, Lord.
No, actually, that's not true. I think you give good advice about everything. You give good advice about
it's just
everything.
My life experiences it's might not match up.
Yeah, it's just that the experiences may be inconsistent with advice, but I actually think she could give very good advice about anything and everything.
It'd be like that. I'd be giving good relationship advice.
Honestly, I feel like all girls be doing that. Like, yeah, like, don't do this.
But if you look at my track history. Anyways.
But what are you most qualified to give advice about? Honestly, this is hard only because I feel like you could give good advice about anything, but definitely when it comes to family and healing and like just trauma and like just coming back, I think you're one of the most resilient people I know. And like it's so funny because people would never know, just see, like, you do not wear your problems. You were saying that about me, but like if someone were to sit down with you and you tell them about your life and everything you went through, they would not believe it. They would not believe it. Like, you do not look like the things you've been through. And not only that, but the fact that despite that, you've still managed to be such a loving, graceful, forgiving person. Mm-hmm. Like, someone that could have been handed the exact same cards could be the complete opposite and be justified in that. They could be justified in being a person that doesn't like people, a person that doesn't trust people, a person that doesn't give people a chance, that pushes people away. And you've done the complete opposite. And that's insane. So I just think you're very qualified, and I feel like when it comes to like family and stuff, like a lot of the things that people struggle with the most is like, how do I make a comeback? How do I forgive? How do I actually heal?
Yeah.
When someone probably doesn't even deserve forgiveness. Thankfully for our family, like, I feel like we've been able to find some reconciliation in a lot of places, some places not. But even in those places where there hasn't been complete reconciliation, you have full forgiveness and you've maintained a pure heart. So the fact that you're able to do that, I feel like is such a... Honestly, just shows, number one, the grace of God. Like, how I feel like your life is just such a living testimony of how good God is. Because if you're able to go through all that and still remain the way that you are, it makes other people think, well, damn, if God could do it for her, then he could do it for me. If she could get through that, then maybe I could forgive, you know? So I think you are very qualified to give advice on healing, on forgiving. Not only forgiving, but forgiving when someone doesn't do you right still. Someone doesn't. It's easy to forgive someone when they apologize and they come clean. Yeah. But forgiving when you're never going to get an apology, you're never going to get understanding, that's a whole complete ballgame. And that requires God. That requires agape. That requires a supernatural love of God. And I feel like you just exude that and you could help and heal a lot of people just talking about your story. You don't even need to preach. You just talk and you tell people about your experiences, and just hearing about that and seeing who you are right now is a testimony within itself. So I feel like that's what you are the most qualified to give advice about. Don't cry, bro. It's too early.
I already cried once today. I'm just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
Without crying. Wow.
What do you think I'm most qualified to give advice about? I'm curious.
A lot of things. I think you're qualified to give advice about a lot of things. But outside, like, the very obvious things, I think you're one person that actually loves unconditionally. Like, even if, well, at least in the context of our relationship, No. You love unconditionally. I think you just understand your boundaries, mm-hmm. right? And you're very strict about your boundaries. And if it's not safe for you, you're bye-bye.
Yeah.
You really, really love unconditionally. Like, even if I know if you and I are beefing for whatever reason and I need you, 1,000,000% you gonna show up. Mm-hmm. So I think what you would be most qualified, one of the things is if you did a seminar on how to love unconditionally and what that means, I think you'd be really good on that. And it's talk on every part, how to love unconditionally, but then also like where to draw boundaries, mm-hmm. right? I think you're one of the most caring people I know. And things like you won't say much because you're never going to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, like I love you so much. I just feel like, you see, why is that uncomfortable? We're going to have to talk about why that's uncomfortable for you. But, you know, but you will show that you care. Yeah. You know what I mean? A moment where it counts, you'll be the first person there. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's just not for me. And that's just not for our family. But even in the way, like, you're there for our parents. Sometimes I'm like, I hear things from you. And I'm like, how come they didn't come to me? I'm the firstborn.
Family trauma.
You know, but I think that's one thing. I think another thing too, friendships. 100% friendships. I think you handle your friendships so well. And I think me being the opposite, you know, there's been seasons in my life where I did not handle my friendships very, very well. And there's been other seasons where it's like, it was not me, it was really them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't me, it was them. Yeah. But even in those, I just think you have a lot of wisdom to give on friendships, and sisterhood. Like, I think the mm-hmm. friends you have around, like those are your sisters. Like, mm-hmm. that's just what it is, you know. What could you do better as a sister?
I think you're perfect.
That's a lie. Her head's going, which one should I? Which one's most important?
No. I don't think there's anything better. I think I'm satisfied with how you show up for me. I'm being dead serious. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied with how you show up for me. And I don't know. I think I'm just at a point where I genuinely appreciate what our relationship is now.
Wow.
That, please receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it.
Who's paying her to say this?
But I'm genuinely in a place where I think I'm satisfied with where our relationship is.
I do think I could do better in ways that I know I could do better. But
I think, though, that the parts that I feel you should do better, I think I have to create that space. Maybe. So I feel like one thing is, I don't think I'm on like your top two or three or maybe even five to go people in the moment.
Oh, wait. Okay, no, you're top five for sure. You're top five for sure.
I'm not top three though. Parents obviously don't count because no, parents.
No. Bro, parents what? Bottom 10. Respectfully.
But I think I do have a part to play in creating that space mm-hmm. where, you know, you feel more comfortable. I feel like I hear of everything, but I hear of it after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or once you've overcome it or whatever the case may be, but in the moment, like, you'll never come to me like, hey, Tosh, like, I'm feeling really sad. Yeah. You know, this is hurting me or whatever. Whereas, like, I'm like that. Well, I'm also like that naturally. Like, in the moment, I will call you crying. Yeah. I will call you and be like, yo, like, I can't handle this or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But, and maybe me also just being more understanding and softer. Mm-hmm.
But I think that has less to do with you. And, like, now it's more so how I cope with things.
Yeah.
And I think when I used to go through things, like my first, maybe not to, but my first instinct would be to go to people and kind of throw it at people. And in a funny way, I used to forfeit my relationship with God because I never used to go to him first, because I always used to go to people.
Yeah.
So now it's like I got to a point when I go through stuff, it's never because like I'm suffering and I'm down bad on my own, which is why I was saying like I'm joyful, but like I'm going through a lot and it's difficult.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily stuff like, it's stuff I still haven't talked about, some of the closest people in my life. But it's like I always, in order for me to control the, almost control the situation emotionally and spiritually, I have to come to terms with it first, because when I come to people with it first, I'm coming from a place of anger, a place of frustration, a place of sadness, a place of like, why is my life going like this?
Yeah.
As opposed to when I take time to just sit with it.
Yeah.
My first thing now is generally like, God, what are you trying to do? And it's like, I need to sort it with God or be at peace with it between God and I.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to bring it up. And when I bring it up to people, even though I'm struggling with it, I'm not emotional about it.
Yeah.
Because I've gone to the secret place and I've dealt with it a bit on my own, even though it's still difficult. But when I don't do that and I do the opposite, it becomes, it's fruitless almost. Like I'm just saying whatever comes off my chest. I'm being ungrateful, and I can almost risk missing what God is trying to do within that situation, because I'm just feeding my emotions, my feelings so much. Now it's like, you know what, God, you've had me before when I thought all hell was going to break loose, or you're going to have me now. Like, just help me cope with it. Whatever you want to do, do it. But I have to go through that first, and then I could talk to people about it. But so now it's I think before it was less of me coming to you, but now it's more of that. Like, I will come to you after a situation happens. You're definitely up there.
Yeah. I think we've done pretty good at learning how we each cope with things.
Yeah.
I think I'll come to you one day, and then next time I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Literally. I'm crying, bawling today. So yeah, I'm over it. I dealt with it.
Tasha will hash out.
She's upset. She'll hash out in 48 hours and be good. She'll cry. She'll be mad. She'll stay in bed. She'll be like, we're good now. But you and get it out of your system like that. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I actually give myself timelines. Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Boy.
I literally, I think I told you, I think I took the week off of everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, except work, because sis needs to get paid. But I literally told myself, I'm like, I'm taking, giving myself the week. I'm not having any unnecessary conversations. I'm not doing anywhere where I'm needed, like catch me next week. And I told myself, by the time I get out of this, it's out of my system.
Yeah.
Cause it just has to be. Cause I know I can't, cause that's what will take me back to
old Tosh.
Being triggered by little things. I have another question for you.
Shoot.
As we kind of wrap up. What do you think are keys to solid sisterhood?
Solid sisterhood.
Between like blood sisters.
Number one, never competing. Never competing with your sister. Like, just never, ever, ever competing with your sister. Do not ever pit yourselves against each other, no matter how much others try to, other people or external factors or just things outside, try to do that. Don't ever let it get to you. Because like at the end of the day, like if you know me, there's almost nothing I value more than my friendships and the friends that I have in my life, but nothing will ever replace you. Nothing will ever be able to replace you and the sister. And you know what? Honestly, I think the devil fought our relationship all of our childhood 100%. Up until our early 20s. Early teenage years for me.
Yeah.
Because he knew that if he was able to get between this.
Yeah.
Like when I say fought, maybe this for another day, another episode, but fought our relationship. Like 100%. It was no one's business. Because he knew that if he got in the way of this, he could ruin both of our destinies to a certain
100%.
Extent. There's God's perfect will and there's God's good will. We'd never make it to God's perfect will without each other. I don't think there's anyone generally that I need more in my life than you. And it's just, you know, it's difficult to obviously go through that healing process, but do the work. Do the work and, like, do not give up on your siblings. Do not give up on your sister. Do not give up on them. If you can't have a relationship with them because they're toxic or whatnot, pray for them. Be there for them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Not because they deserve it, but because you need them and they 100%. Need you. Nothing will ever replace. Of course, always create healthy boundaries. At the end of the day, you can't just entertain relationships, whether it's blood or not, just because you're my sis, if you need that space because of whatnot, take it. But fight for those relationships. Fight for those relationships. Do the work. Be self-aware. Like, don't always be so quick, especially I feel like in sibling relationships, like now less, but back then, like I could point out everything wrong about you. I could point out every single thing you do wrong, why you do it wrong, what you need to change. But like, it's so easy to not look at yourself and to not do the work in your actual life. Okay, like what could I be doing better as a sister? What work do I need to get done? Take time, do the work, read the books, spend time with God. Like what you do on your own time, that is your solid ground, your solid foundation. If you don't figure yourself out and do the work within yourself, you're never going to be able to maintain healthy friendships or relationships or sisterhoods or anything. So it's like, if you can't master this, how much more people who don't owe you anything that aren't your blood?
That part.
How much more people that just come in and out of your life if you don't know how to respect or maintain the relationships that are the most sacred and the most important? You're going to struggle with all the other relationships in your life.
100%.
And the thing is, you can struggle with those, but you always need people to fall back on. And who are those? Your siblings. That your part. Siblings. So yeah, do the work, do the healing, because that is how you create solid ground amongst sisters. Yeah.
I like that. I think you kind of touched on this, like when you're mentioning, like you're able to point out everything wrong. But I think for me, what changed in general about people, but obviously specifically in our relationship, is when you actually focus on the good of someone, you actually become so in awe. You know what I mean? And I told God this years ago, I was like, I want to be in awe of everyone that's in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to look at my friends and be like, you know what I mean? And I did the same for our entire family. Like, when I tell you, I would write names down and be like, what do I love about this person?
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you focus on what's great about someone and be grateful for who they are, what they bring to the table or whatever the case may be, you realize how irrelevant, like, the things we like to focus on and be like, are, you know what I mean? Like, and I think from that, I was able to even understand some of the things maybe that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So just an example, like even like Dad, you know what I mean? I remember one day I just sat and I was looking at Dad and I was just like, my heart was just so warm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the sweetest.
And things like when you take the time to even just understand his heart, you know what I mean? And understand just everything, his thought process. You realize that even in moments of like where he's upset about something, it's just from a place of like either being so, whether it's hurt or sad about something, but like you see his heart through everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think I came to a point where I was able to focus on the good and realize that the things that are quote unquote negative didn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also just, I don't think I never compared us, but I think in some, when it comes to certain things, I expected you to be like me. And I think for years, that's where I was at fault, where it's like, ugh, like, why can't she be like this? Like, you know what I mean? Why can't she process like I process? Why can't she get it together?
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? Where it's like, there's a handful of things that I don't get together. Yeah. You know, there's a handful of things that like, you're probably like, yo, what's wrong with her? You know what I mean? So when I realized that the strengths you have are not the strengths I have, you know what I mean? The weaknesses I have, you have different weaknesses. Like, we're just able to lean on each other that way. Yeah. And I think when we collaborate on things, or even when we talk about, like, my passions and my projects and your passions and your projects, it's very clear to see, you know, the strengths or the ideas that I've added and the things and the strengths that what you bring to the table. And I think, like you said, that's why the devil fought our sisterhood. And I think even why he fights sisterhood, why he fights unity, point blank, period, because at the end of the day, I can do a lot of great things. You can do a lot of great things, but it's definitely going to be sweeter
100
and better if we're not just together, but genuinely in unity.
Yeah.
You know, I think what also contributed to us being able to get to this space is our siblings.
True.
Is our little siblings. I think we both, I don't know if we had a conversation about it, but I think we just decided that, you know what, we're going to give them the best version of family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming from a blended family and, you know, there are half siblings, but we'll never say that. There are siblings, yeah. Point blank, period. But we don't want them to feel a disconnect. And, you know, Jacob being all sensitive.
Yeah.
He feels
so intuitive,
everything. So I don't know if you remember, there was a time he was like, oh, why are you and Allison fighting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel bad for that one time we fought in front of him.
Yeah.
In the car?
Yeah, I think we were arguing about something.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh. My heart, man.
Sorry, Jacob, if you ever see this when you're older. Jacob. You'll probably forget
He's
it.
He's like seven, but his heart is just like our dad's. Like, yeah, even our dad, like, whenever we heart. Weren't in agreement, like, it will mess up.
Yeah.
Like, it just grieves his heart.
Yeah.
But I think part of, you know, what got us to this point is we just said, okay, you know what? Like, we want them to see unity, to feel unity, to yeah. see love. And in just every conversation that we have and being able as much as we can to control the environment.
Yeah.
So that what traumatized us
yeah.
won't traumatize them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So. Yeah, I don't know if I touched on what yeah. solid ground.
Can I add on?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I think one thing as you're speaking just a bit earlier that kind of in terms just to answer that question is learning to experience your sister, your brother, your siblings as individuals outside of your relationship. Mm. Like who is Natasha when she's not my sister? And you kind of that's something kind of because you spoke about like dad and just looking at all mm-hmm. of our family, but. Once you gain an appreciation of someone for who they are, irrespective of your relationship, number one, it gives them a stronger level of humanity mm. because you see them like some things that they do that get you upset and that get you mad. Sometimes you're like, oh, I can see the child in them that's hurt and that's mm. broken. Sometimes I, yeah. you know, like it helps you give someone so much grace, number one. And number two, familiarity can familiarity is dangerous.
Yeah.
When you become over familiar with anyone, whether it is family or whether it's someone that is just close to you that has given you access or privilege to be that mm-hmm. close to them, you could easily just miss who they are and what they 100%. Bring. And like for example, like Tasha is obviously my sister, but she is also a pastor. Over familiarity could cause me not to be able to actually completely respect her, not to take her mm. her role and her title as a pastor very seriously, but there's times I'm coming to you as Natasha, my sis, or I'm coming to you as Natasha, my pastor. I need you to pray for me, not as my sister. Like you're not my sister right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes whether it's ideas or business ideas, like sometimes you need to, and it's hard because obviously this is still new. So
yeah,
sometimes like
I was gonna say I think I'm, navigating that has been funny because I remember one time you came to me like, yo, can you pray for me? I was like,
she wanted to laugh, and I was like, no, bro, ended up crying out here prophesying to me. But literally this week, someone was like, Pastor Tosh, I'm like, what? And I was like, oh, right. Like, I have, like, I'm doing the work, okay? But yeah, just not over-familiarizing yourself with the people in your life, with your yeah. sisters, with your siblings, because you are going to miss out on them. And what hurts more is missing out on someone. Everyone is benefiting from them. Seeing Dang. Everyone reap. All the seeds they've sown in you because they are able to view you as something that me who spends my life and every day with does not mm-hmm. see. Do you know how sad that is? They yeah. are sowing on your grounds and you're not even reaping. Other people outside are reaping more than you because you can't even see that this ground is fertile and it's right beside you. And it's right beside you. Spirit of familiarity. But yeah, don't get familiar with your sister, with your siblings, your people.
She preaching.
Learn to really see people and value yeah. them as individuals. Like that will change your life. That alone 100%. Will make you so much more loving, forgiving, graceful. Like sisterhood is important, but sisterhood sometimes requires disconnecting from sisterhood. Mm-hmm. Who is she outside my sister?
100%. And yeah. I think that goes both ways. Like it's not necessarily even about like title or position,
mm-hmm.
but I genuinely think everybody is a gift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. As much as I'm Pastor Tosh, which I'm as much as you're getting used to it, you know, I'm navigating it. You know what I mean? But there's still something in you that I not want, need. You know what I mean? And vice versa, not being too familiar to be like, oh, like, it's Allison. Like, I know her. Like, yeah. I didn't change your diaper. No, I don't think I did.
Bro, you almost killed me on your back when I was a baby. Changed my diaper. She almost took me out.
Oh, my gosh,
out.
Yes.
She almost took me out.
Wait, what happened? Why did I have you? I think mom and dad were leaving.
And you're trying. And she had me on her back. It was back in Africa. She had me on her back. In Zimbabwe. Wrapped up in the towel in Zimbabwe. Harare. She had me on her back and my mom was leaving. How old were you? Probably like four.
I was four, but I think you were less
than a week. First of all, only in Africa is a four-year-old carrying a baby on her back.
Continue. No, but I think you were less than a week old.
Oh, my God.
You were less than a week old, and, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I think they put you on my back. Oh, wait, no. So, mom was leaving.
This is the first time the devil tried to fight her sister.
By me taking you out 1 week fresh into the world.
1 week, bro. Give me a month.
But I think mom was leaving. I think mom was leaving and I wanted to go with her.
Yeah.
And in order to make me stay, they put you on my back. So they put her on my back and like, you know, Africans, we have like the wrapper. So they wrapped you on my back and guess what I did? Shwoom! I started running.
She ran.
I started running in the compound. Like
1 week. My head was not a solid foundation. And I did not have a solid ground.
So dead. There was nothing holding you.
Nothing but the grace of God.
God kept you. He kept me.
No, he did.
He really kept you because I could have taken you out.
Taking me out.
I could have taken. Mom was chasing me. Grandma. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Oh, Go-go.
My gosh.
Go-go probably chasing running. Us. Natasha. We have Paolo.
Oh, my gosh.
Yo. But we... I thank God that you're here today, that your neck is can move from left to right. is a testimony. It is 100% a testimony. I forgot the question.
I forgot. What were you even saying?
But I think I was talking about how, like, regardless of title or whatever it is, recognizing that you're a gift and what's on the inside of you, I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah, I need you. If I've never said it before, I need you, and I think that's one big key thing to sisterhood in general is understanding that you need the other person. Because I feel like when you understand that you need something and you need someone, you approach it differently.
100
But I feel like sometimes maybe we treat even blood sisters or friendships like like you're disposable.
Yeah,
you know, we treat them like I can do without you.
Yeah. And I think it's this generation, like, just this big cancel culture. Like,
yeah,
you can take anyone out. Everyone's replaceable. No.
Everyone's not replaceable.
And, like, I just feel like a lot of stuff that is just spewed on the internet is, number one, not taken with a grain of salt. Like, 100%. Yes, it is applicable to certain situations. But people just run 100%. With certain things. And that can be self-sabotage.
Yeah.
You think you're protecting your heart. You think you're protecting yourself by distancing 100%. Yourself from people. You are self-sabotaging because those are people you need.
100%.
You know, fight for those relationships, fight for those people.
They're worth fighting for.
Maintain your boundaries while you do that, but don't just think, oh, I don't need you. I could have decided that. 100%. You could have decided that. There's many situations where we could have decided that.
I think there's many situations where we did decide that.
Yeah, but we always come back.
Our comeback game is actually super strong.
Oh, my God.
Because we could, obviously this hasn't happened in a while because I think we're just at a different space now, but we could, like, argue about something, not talk, and then you'll call me.
No, Tash, you always do.
I always call.
One thing about me, I stand on business.
Why do I have to be the one I was calling?
Because you're the one that's wrong.
What?
But we're not going to get into that today.
Oh, no.
We're not going to get into that today.
Absolutely not.
We're not going to get into that today.
Not true. That is not true. Anyways, in sisterhood, you're going to have disagreements. And part of going from shaky ground to solid ground is understanding that solid ground doesn't always mean that you're going to 100% agree on everything.
That's actually very
That even
huge.
When you don't agree, you're able to find some common ground.
Yeah.
Shando. In Talaba. That you're able to find common ground.
Yeah.
So that you can move forward.
Yeah. There's times we haven't found common ground, but we're still.
100%.
That's actually one thing. Like, sometimes you actually don't find common ground.
Mm-hmm. But most of the times... Are those things truly, truly important to find?
Oh, no.
Some things are big issues where it's like, let's say it's pertaining to family, where it's like, it is important. But
some things,
if my perspective is different from your perspective, it's like, we do have to get a point where it's like, hey, you know what? Like, I really don't agree.
Yeah.
I don't see how you see that perspective.
Yeah.
But I think that's also understanding. Yeah. And I think one thing about us is we may have gone through a lot of the same situations, but we have two completely different experiences.
100%.
So I think part of, you know, being able to find common ground is respecting the other person's perspective and experience. especially even growing up, you know, from coming from Zim and just the life issues we went through, divorce. I think we process that, not us, not any of us being divorced, but our parents. I think you and I process that so differently.
Yeah.
And our experiences were different.
We had different childhoods, I think, different teenagers,
exactly,
lived with different parents, different places.
Completely different. Yeah. And I think a lot of the misunderstandings we had was because I didn't understand you and you didn't understand me.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent we have now understood each other on most of the things.
Yeah.
But the things that we don't yet understand, or whatever the case may be, I think we've just, hey, you know what? Like, I respect, you know, your position, your experience, your perspective.
Yeah.
And I think when you can't find that agreement, respect is important. You know,
100. Which, I guess goes to say, like, don't die on the hill. Like, if they don't get how I see things, then they're out. I feel like that's pride number one.
I was about to say.
That is
100%.
That's so prideful. And I feel like I've struggled with that in our relationship to a certain extent. Like, sometimes, like, I want you to get on my page. Like,
I think we both have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want you to get on my page. I want you to get it, because why don't you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm painting the picture for you. Like, why are you not seeing it? It's black and white. And sometimes it's so hard to, like, just let go. You know what? They're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though in my eyes, this is the only thing that makes sense. But, like, once you're able to really let go of that and just, like, you know what? It doesn't matter. There's bigger issues.
100%.
There's bigger things in life to worry about. And, like, it's, yeah, it's just, I feel like it's just pride. And we often don't recognize it in the moment. But, like,
100%.
Being able to let go of those little things. Or sometimes they're not little. Even sometimes it's big.
Big things.
And just being able to do that in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing in your in your whole relationship. So,
100%. I think, pride. I think we definitely at some point both struggled with that a lot.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when we think of, like, oh, pride comes before the fall, we think of, like, being arrogant and all of that. I mean, yes, it's a form of arrogance, but it's just as simple as, like, not wanting to take the first step to apologize. You know what I mean? Those are the things that do take little dents at relationships, at friendship, where it's like, over time, if we're both able to be like, hey, you know what? Like, I may not get you, but I what I'm concerned about is our relationship and what it takes to, you know, get to a place where, you know, there can be open communication, there can be trust, regardless of whether I agree with you or not. I feel like that's huge. But a lot of times in relationships and sisterhood, we don't necessarily do that.
That's true.
You know, but as we close off, I'm going to ask you one more question. Actually, two. But first one is, what's your favorite memory of us?
Wait. I feel like that's actually going to be difficult.
If you need a moment, I could go first. I got mine.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, you ready for this one? So, actually, no, let me explain the entire story. So I was 12, and that day I was feeling sick. I was actually sick. Like, I genuinely wasn't feeling well. And it was a Wednesday, and on Wednesdays we'd go to church. Right. So I was about 12, which means you were about 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we both lived with my mom. Okay. And on Wednesdays, we would all go to church for, like, Bible study. Right. So that one Wednesday, I wasn't feeling well at all. So I stayed home. Right. So you guys went to church. And at that time, you know, Tosh had a little boyfriend or whatever. I had a boyfriend. It was my first boyfriend. And obviously, I live in an African household, so there's no going out on dates. There's never any of that. And he used to press me, like, yo, like, you know, come outside the house, come to the park, because, you know, that's what.
The park is crazy.
Come to the park. And so that day, when you guys left for church, I was on the phone with him. He's like, I was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm home alone. So, you know what I mean? He did not come to the house. I respect my I fear my African mom. And so I just went outside and we went on a walk, right? And I knew what time you guys would get back home from church. So I made sure to be there earlier, right? So we went on a walk. And then after the walk, like, he was walking me back to the apartment right? And I left the door unlocked because, like, I don't have the key and I'm coming back home. Do you remember this?
No, but I'm just imagining the order of events.
So he walked me back to the door of my apartment, and the door is locked. The door is locked. And why is it locked? Because my mama and my sister decided to come back from church early. I didn't calculate that I would be sick, so my mom might come home earlier.
Yeah.
Didn't calculate that at all. But she did.
You stayed because you were sick?
Yeah. And I actually was sick. Right? So it's not like I was lying. Right? And it's not like I'd planned to see him. Just, you know, happened. But anyways, I walked. The door is locked. And mom opens the door at some point. Right? The look she gave me.
Bro, I'm already scared because I know it.
I knew I was done.
Cooked.
That was when. So mom opens the door. And there's me and this big guy, right?
Wait, he walked you home?
Yeah, he walked me to the apartment.
To the door?
Yeah, because in my head, mom was not there.
Oh, my God.
He was being a gentleman,
no,
I think.
No, there's certain risks you don't take. Drop me out down the street.
That's... You know, but she opened the doors, and I didn't know what to say, so I introduced them. Mistake number one or two, three at that point. I'm like, hey, mom, this is so-and-so. So-and-so is my mom. So he's like, hi, ma'am. You know, how are you? Da, 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 da. Mom didn't bring out her hand.
Of course not.
She did not bring out her hand. She didn't say hi. She didn't do nothing. Okay? And then this is my mistake number 10 at this point. I'm like, oh, I'm going to walk him downstairs. Yeah. So I walked him downstairs. I walk him downstairs, and he was Caribbean. And I was like, maybe because he's not African, he's asking me these silly questions. He asked me, he's like, oh, is she going to take away your phone or something? I said, hey. I didn't have a phone at that time. But I'm like, if that was all she did, I would be grateful unto God. Okay? Walked him downstairs, came back upstairs. The door was locked. The door was locked. And she let me sit outside. I think it was at least a good 2 hours. Right, it was a long time. I can't. You still don't remember this?
No.
Okay. Well, this is why it's my favorite story of us.
I opened the door for you, didn't I?
No, you were fighting for my life in there. Oh. You were. Oh my gosh, why do I feel like crying? No, 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 no. You were literally in there, like, mom. No, why am I gonna cry?
Don't cry. Don't cry.
Oh my gosh, no. But you were literally in there, like, mom, please open the door for her. What if she's cold? Like, when I...
Bro.
But you were literally... when I say fighting for my life, bro, you were... are you crying, Clay?
No. Clay is not crying. Clay is definitely not crying.
I was like, does Clay have the sniffles? Wait. I have tissues over here. Oh, sorry, guys. This is not supposed to... Okay, so you were literally, when I say fighting for my life, you're like, mom, but Tasha's going to be cold. She's going to be cold, mom. She's not feeling well. And I remember she's like, oh, what if she's hungry? And for the most part, mom's ignoring you. Yeah. And at some point she told you, she's like, if you open that door, I'm going to beat you or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Guess what you did?
I opened the door.
You cut me up oranges and you opened the door and you put a plate of oranges.
Oh my gosh.
And I think you're still the same person today.
That's so crazy because I feel like that's literally our life right now.
I think you're still the same person today. I think, you know, when it matters or when I'm not okay, you're gonna be right there. Fighting for my life, bro. And whoever catches it, catches it. Because there's no one off limits. Like, there's no one that's safe.
Tasha makes people safe. Tasha tells me to give people grace, but I will fight for Tasha every single time.
Oh my gosh.
That's so crazy. I don't remember that at all.
It's one of my favorite memories of us. Thank you for fighting for me. I still got beat, but
100. Did I get caught?
Huh?
Did I get caught?
I think she knew, but okay. I think she let it slide. But that was the day where when I came back, I don't know if I could tell the story without making mom look crazy.
No, it's not that day.
What do you mean? No, it's not that day. It's not that day. But this is the day where when she finally opened the door, she just unlocked the door and she didn't say anything. Yeah. So I didn't know if I could come in or not.
Yeah.
Right? Eventually, I was, you know, I was peeping through the door and I came in. You know her. She was reading her Dr. Phil book or some book. She was just in her bed. And that day, we lived in the one bedroom. So there was the bed and the two bunk, our bunk bed. Bain Avenue. Yeah. Oh. Right. So she had her bed. And on this side, we had the bunk bed. Right.
Yeah.
So I was terrified to go in the room because
we're all there.
She's all there. So I think just to kill time, I took a shower. You know what I mean? Did all that, come in. She was just in her. She said nothing. Yeah. She was humming hymns, bro. Humming hymns. And then I used to drink milk all the time at that point. So I went to the kitchen. And if you remember the layout of the house, like I when do. You come out the kitchen, there's just like a sharp, it's just,
yeah.
There was a desk there.
Yeah, I do remember.
And then, so I literally was walking out the kitchen with my glass of milk. I turned the corner.
Caught a hand.
Pam. All I remember is spilt milk, bro.
Don't cry over spilt milk. But but dang, yeah, no, but those were interesting Mondays. Times. Honestly, like, I definitely did not think about my favorite memory, and I do think I'll need to think about it more. Yeah. I do think I'll need to.
So on the next episode.
Next episode, yeah.
Okay.
I honestly, this would sound so bad, but like, I have no recollection of like, I don't think anything up until like our teenage years, of us together. And the stuff I do remember, it's all, like, just negative events that have happened. So, like, our childhood, I don't. So, there's stuff I could talk about that are, like, recent, like, in the past, like, year or two.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of, like, I already know is a whole other, that's going to be a whole other thing, like, for me to deal with. But, yeah. Most of, like, I think everything from 14 and under, a lot of it is a blur.
Yeah.
Unless it's something that's really bad that happened. So, like,
Therapy?
Lost time. Huh?
So, therapy?
Yeah, no. Honestly,
we both need therapy.
Yeah.
I've been saying.
But we do have a lot of good memories.
We have a lot of good ones.
But I just can't think of one, like, right off the spot.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Next episode.
Next episode.
We're going to talk about it. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I really, really appreciated this. Got a good laugh. And almost cried. The tear didn't fall, so it wasn't a full cry. But I'm just. Beyond, obviously, us having these conversations off camera, I really, really do appreciate where our sisterhood is today. Mm-hmm. I do think it's something that can bless people because it takes a lot to come from trauma and overcome it, and in a way where it doesn't look like you're coming from something rough. Uh-huh. So I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you for just always being here. For me, for fighting for me, and I'll always fight for you too, you know.
And thank you, and I appreciate you, number one, for being the blueprint. You've literally walked so I could run. I feel like you've literally been my shield, like, despite everything, you've been a shield for me from my childhood. And I feel like when it comes to certain things in terms of our sisterhood, like, you've gone the shorter end of the stick, and I think there's a lot that I haven't been through because you were there and you went through instead of me. And just thank you for even having me, for kind of like what we were talking about, being able to see my individuality, even just seeing me, like, someone could do something like this and they'll see their siblings as the last person to have on their podcast. I'm the first person you're filming with, which is an honor, which is crazy. That you even think of me and that you see me not just as your sister Allison, but you just see who I am as an individual, and that you embrace that and you keep pushing me and you challenge me to do things like this that make me shine a little vulnerable and nervous.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are, like, probably the biggest pillar in my life, so thank you for being my big sis. I love you, and this is only one episode, but every episode is going to be so great. She's going to do so amazing, and y'all about to be blessed, touched. And yeah, I'm excited for you guys because she's about to be spinning some wisdom, and all the episodes that are coming are just going to bless and touch so many people's lives. And I get to know you in person, and that I'm lucky. That's a privilege. So yeah, thank you. Yeah.
It's an honor to have you. Wouldn't have it any other way, and it wouldn't be happening if you weren't
sitting
here today.
This is a lot of nice words in 1 hour. Oh my God.
Back to normal.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Bye. Get off my couch.
Bro. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'll see you. I'm joking.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Solid Ground. I really hope that this conversation with Allison helped you find more stability for your meaningful relationships. Join us next week as we continue to find the path from shaky ground to solid ground. Until then, stay grounded.